elevation was around 1,900 feet elevation. So you're looking at about 2,000 elevation, and he was mobile. So he was only, 2 meters, maybe 3 tops off the ground. But his elevation and his location was like 2,100, 2,200. So there was no obstacles in his way. It was just straight from his radio. If you did line of sight comparison, it was straight from his radio to his station. And so the only thing that was in his way was propagation. So propagation was good back then, of course. And yeah, he communicated 100 miles away on a VHF repeater. So that's impressive. You know, most cases, you know, you get around 30, maybe nowadays 50 miles. And of course, his tower is not longer there, and things have changed. But yeah, in that situation today, I would think about 50 miles, 60 miles. But don't forget, he was on a handheld HT. He wasn't on a mobile putting out 50, 60 watts. He was only putting out 5 watts. So it was a nice Motorola. That's where you have 2 5 watts of power going out. And an excellent receiver on it. Yeah, just pause there. Had an excellent receiver on it. So yeah, he came in full quieting. He would have got further yet, I'm sure, but it was out of his route, so he didn't try. But yeah, back then 100 miles, today maybe 50, I think, so on 5 watts. So you're giving out about 2.5 watts. So not much, a whole lot difference. Power, you don't gain a whole lot of distance there. Just FYI, you know, you might gain maybe 3 to 5 miles. Maybe that's about it. So from 5 watts to 50 watts, but it's the height. It's the line of sight there. There's no obstacles. You'll go a long ways. So yeah, I don't, see that being a problem there. If you at 700 feet there, yeah, if there's a mountain in your way, well, that's a different story, I suppose, for sure. But yeah, going the other direction, you should have no problem at all. Over.
You know, Randy, now that you mentioned it, back in the 80s, late 80s, I was traveling to New Brunswick, and I was in Moncton, and I have a repeater site about, I could throw a rock and hit it from here, about a kilometer, and I think it's at about 340 feet, it's a EMO site, whatever, and I could, back then, I was able to hit the Hammond Plains repeater, and I was in Moncton, and that's only like 340 feet, but now... Now the system's changed. Our Hammond Plains repeater came down in elevation when they put up the new tower. So I think we're only up like maybe 150 feet instead of the 350. So yeah, I think you're right. I think at 700 feet, I may even be able to get into Moncton and who knows, maybe even Yarmouth and Cape Breton. That'd be awesome.
Well, the only thing you got really going against you is, besides propagation, is the time of day that you do it. You know, if you were to do it early morning when propagation's better on VHF and UHF, you'd probably get out a little further. But if you do it mid-afternoon, when the heat's on, and the heat plays a, I'm yawning here, sorry about that, the heat plays a factor as well when the atmosphere warms up there. So yeah, what time of morning or afternoon are you going to be launching this balloon there? Over.
But you know, Randy, you just brought up a very good point. In the mornings here, we have a wake up net, and it runs from 7:30 to 8:30. So maybe I'll set it up for like 9 o'clock till noon, and at the same time, I'll be able to alert the 50 or 60 operators that check into the net that we'll be doing the test following the net, and they'll be able to. That'd probably be the more successful flight there that way, over.
Yeah, I would say so. Just going by experience, sometimes, inversions here, like I know I get into Regina sometimes, here quite easily, full quieting at 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the mornings, but by the time 11, 12, 1 o'clock hits, forget it. I don't even hear a beep from the repeater. So yeah, that plays a big role as well there. So yeah, you might 9 o'clock I think would be a good time there, not to interfere with the net, of course, and then of course. There'll be a lot more people available around, sticking around after the net there for trying to do some key-ups with your crossband there. Over.
Yeah, you raise a valid point. I think that's what I'll... it'd be a good time to put out the PSA and to say or maybe even schedule it on I don't know, I'd rather have it on a day that more people is available. Maybe I'll just get them to drop me an email if they're interested in doing the test with the Pico balloon, and then I'll just accumulate the operators, and then sort of pick a time. When you're looking at, $75 a shot for testing, you want to do it so it's going to be successful. I don't mind putting more gas in there, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, for sure, yeah, definitely. And that's a good idea there to do that. Like I know myself, my schedule in the mornings are a lot more freer than they are in the afternoons or evenings. Once I hit that supper time, I almost want to shut the radio off. But I usually sometimes keep it on just because I'm monitoring the system here. But if I wasn't monitoring the system, I definitely would have turned off. So yeah, it's of course, when you know that there's an event going on, you're more determined to change your own schedule. But yeah, if more people are going to be around at a certain time and a certain day of the week, that would be beneficial. More operators, the better. Over.
Yeah, I just had another brainwave. I can even tell them that if they know anyone that wants to check in as a guest operator, to get their names and numbers, and they could check in. And if they can't connect to the Pico balloon, at least we'll be able to connect them via another method, and at least they'll be reporting in. And of course, I'll have mutual aid 9, so if they don't check in that way, I could also check them into the mutual aid 9, at least as a contact, maybe like Zoom, everybody be able to check in and see what's happening. And if you got guest operators around, well, it'd be good to get those to come on frequency. And of course, it's all going to be rebroadcast on the Canada Hub or the reflector node. So, Yeah, I think I may just pull that plug there. It'd be almost like setting up a go-to station. Over.
Well, I don't know if that's such a good idea as being connected to the Canada Hub. I think there's a better way. But the thing is, how do you get information out to everybody is another thing. It's not that easy sometimes. You'll get it out to a few, but you'd have to announce it like on a net there and stuff for where more people are listening and that sort of thing. But Derek here has been working on, I think he's got it just about working or up for a test there. But we've got a dual system here now in Saskatchewan where you can connect on, say, for example, I could be connected on with All-Star on the Canada Hub, and I can have the node here, the IRLP, connected I can have the IRLP node here connected to Reflector 9307, for an example. That's our go-to channel here when we have other things going on, like on-air meetings, stuff like that. So he hooked up a radioless node for interconnecting one to the other. And so one doesn't interfere with the rest of the group there. So, you can have a net going on, or you can have something going on one and another something going on the other. But I don't know, I would have to play it by, I'd say connect up to the Canada Hub, keep your plans the way they were, but we'd have to monitor it to see if there's going to be a lot of ka-chunking weak signals getting in, and a lot of people a pile up, because that could cause an issue with timing and everything else on all these repeaters and so forth. That's why I'm saying sometimes it's better to go have a go-to channel in case like that happens, and you can always announce it at that time when the project's going on there, to switch over to Reflector 9307 or All-Star, whatever. Back to you.
Yeah, well, it's all in the planning, Randy. I've been promoting that. Just stand by there, Randy. I got a station that just come up on the screen. A Kilo Charlie 2 Tango Mike. Kilo Charlie 2 Tango Mike. Victor Echo 1 Echo Papa. The mic is yours. Go ahead, over.
Okay, hi. Good morning. My name is Frank. I'm just standing by, just listening. See what's going on. Thanks for letting me in. I'm in Southern New Jersey.
Hey, no worries there, Frank. I was just watching the dashboard there. That's how I knew you. Come on frequency. Yeah, don't be a stranger. Stick around as long as you like, and just throw your call out there anytime. We generally leave a good pause there between Q-cells. So, great to hear you in there, Frank. And maybe say hi to Randy, VA5RJM. Go ahead there, Frank.
All right, thank you. Thanks for that minute. Hi, Randy. I see you're all in Alberta. A lot of fun things happening out in Alberta, I understand.
Well, good morning, Frank. Yeah, to follow all the links, it can be challenging. Well, I'm in Saskatchewan here. I'm calling from the small community Kenora here, about 2.5 hours northeast of capital city Regina, or 3 hours straight east of Saskatoon. So we set up here a system called SaskWarn. And, of course, that's our